In verse 37, the Son of Man sounds a trumpet. When does Jesus ever sound a trumpet? In D&C 88, the nameless, numberless angel of God sounds the trumpet that announces the fall of the great whore and accomplishes the first resurrection, where the hosts of heaven meet their Lord in the clouds of heaven. This is the same event. This angel is the one sounding the trumpet. He is the Son of Man. Now, notice what the Lord says at the beginning of verse 37, because it's very important. Whoso treasureth up my word shall not be deceived. He just gave the key to not be deceived, didn't he? Don't believe anyone who says the Son of Man is in the desert or secret chamber, because his coming will be grandiose. Right? Why must treasuring up the word of Jesus be required to not be deceived? Well, what if the Son of Man is not someone folks are expecting? 3 Nephi 23:1. And now, behold, I say unto you, that ye ought to search these things. Yea, a commandment I give unto you, that ye search these things diligently, for great are the words of Isaiah. There is another version of the sermon of Matthew 24 and Luke 17. Luke 17:24. For as the lightning, that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven, shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. 25 But first must he suffer many things, and be rejected of this generation. 26 And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. 27 They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came, and destroyed them all. 28 Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. 29 But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, and destroyed them all. 30 Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So shall also the Son of Man be in his day. The Davidic servant comes at the end of the world to gather Israel and be exalted and extolled by Jehovah. This is his day. Folks read verse 25 and think Jesus is referring to his own rejection. Nope. This is his day, the Davidic servant's day. The lesser participant in the Davidic covenant. The lesser God. But first he must suffer many things, and be rejected of this generation. This generation again refers back to his day. If you still doubt this interpretation, then why verse 30? Verses 26 to 29 are all about, you guessed it, judgment and destruction. And though these days are compared to the earlier days of destruction and judgment of the flood and of Sodom and Gomorrah, thus shall this type of destruction be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. But he must be rejected first, before he is revealed. Reveal. 1. To make known through divine inspiration. 2. To make something secret or hidden, publicly or generally known. Conclusion. The law of Moses was the schoolmaster that brought us to Christ. The ordinances given in the law of Moses pointed to a great and last sacrifice. And though the law of Moses was fulfilled, the Lord expressly states that not every covenant and every prophecy given under Moses has been fulfilled. 3 Nephi 15:6. Behold, I do not destroy the prophets, for as many as have not been fulfilled in me, verily I say unto you, shall all be fulfilled. 7 And because I said unto you that old things have passed away, I do not destroy that which hath been spoken concerning things which are to come. 8 For behold, the covenant which I have made with my people is not all fulfilled, but the law which was given unto Moses hath an end in me. We look at the Jews with the benefit of hindsight, yet would we have recognized Jesus Christ had we lived in his day? Or, would we have joined with the Pharisees and lawyers who all thought they knew better? How could we have recognized him? The law of Moses pointed to him, but clearly it was not enough for most. Now, I ask the question nobody seems to even think to ask: does our law and do our ordinances point us to a future fulfillment? Consider everything shared thus far in this article and on this site. The Davidic servant is the Holy Ghost. He is the angel of the Lord and the destroyer. His role as the lesser God of Israel is that of judgment and destruction. He has been sitting upon the throne of Michael to earn his eternal inheritance. The single greatest gift of the atonement of Jesus Christ is the purchase of this new God by the blood and suffering of the Lord. The little colt that Jesus led into Jerusalem, Zechariah 9:9, is absent from the many paintings that depict Jesus' triumphant, final entry into the holy city. This artistic oversight is a marvelous symbol of how the interpretation of these scriptures are all hiding in plain sight. Let's take a brief look at the ordinances and conclusion of this article and see if we can underscore the great and deep significance of this truth, that Jesus Christ's atonement purchases the right for his heir to rise. D&C 20:77. O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of Thy Son, and witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of Thy Son, and always remember Him and keep His commandments which He has given them, that they may always have His Spirit to be with them. Amen. That they may always have His Spirit to be with them. The souls who partake of the body of Jesus take upon them His sacred name, that they may always have His Spirit to be with them. This ordinance points to the fulfillment of the fall festivals. The Spirit of the Lord is He who fulfills Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement and Reconciliation. The Feast of Trumpets is the fulfillment of this man who becomes an unconditional inheritor, a God to go no more out. Deuteronomy 16:12. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and thou shalt observe and do these statutes. 13 Pilchro. Thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days, after that thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine. 15 7 days shalt thou keep a solemn feast unto the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase, and in all the works of thine hands, therefore thou shalt surely rejoice. The Feast of Tabernacles is the final celebration that the tabernacle of God has finished his work, has been exalted and extolled, and is now a God forever over Israel. Who delivered the Israelites from bondage? The destroyer. Ezekiel 37:24. And David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd, they shall also walk in my judgments, and observe my statutes, and do them. 25 And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they, and their children, and their children's children forever, and my servant David shall be their prince forever. 26 Moreover I will make a covenant of peace with them, it shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them, and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. 27 My tabernacle also shall be with them, yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. 28 And the heathen shall know that I the Lord do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. I believe this new covenant happens at the end of every world. A new God is crowned, and a covenant is made. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Is it a coincidence that our holy temples read holiness to the Lord and the golden crown of the high priest of Israel reads holiness to the Lord? The ultimate high priest of Israel is the tabernacle of the Lord, a man made holy, a man made into a God, by the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it a coincidence that atop the pinnacle, or highest point, of our holy temples is a man made of gold, bearing a trumpet? When does Moroni ever bear a trumpet, by the way? The end of this world is the beginning of the next. The sacrament itself, which takes place at the morning of the first day of each week, symbolizes this eternal pattern of covenant making. Our sacrament prayer points us forward to the fulfillment of the fall, reed, and festivals as the law of Moses pointed the Israelites to Jesus Christ. D&C 20:79. O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of Thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they do always remember Him, that they may have His Spirit to be with them. Amen. Wine. There it is again. Does the wine of the sacrament align to the fall festivals? Pentecost, Shavuot signifies the beginning of a harvest, and tabernacles signifies the fruits of the harvest, including wine. Is there a covenant made at the wedding of the bridegroom? Does our sacrament point to this covenant that is enabled by the sacrifice and atonement of Jesus Christ? The Feast of Tabernacles is to celebrate God's tabernacle among men. Isn't that what the wedding of the bridegroom is? Revelation 22:16 I Jesus have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. 17 And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. HRM, whosoever is athirst come, say the Spirit and the bride. The Spirit is the bridegroom. Come. Drink at the water of life freely at the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles. In the Second Sacrament prayer, remembering the Son Jesus Christ is to the end of enabling us to have His Spirit to be with us. To reject the greatest gift of the atonement is to reject the atonement itself. Jesus said blasphemies against Him and the Father are forgivable, but not against the Holy Ghost. Why can we blaspheme the lesser God but not the greater? I believe the reason is clear. Jesus' primary, not singular, objective and accomplishment is the purchasing of the right of a man to become God. The Holy Ghost is the greatest gift of the atonement of Jesus Christ. To reject this gift is to crucify the Lord in open shame, Hebrews 6:6. Also, consider that even though Jesus is the greater God and the great high priest of the order of Melchizedek, the sacrament is purely an Aaronic ordinance. Baptism, which points to the resurrection, the first of which is accomplished by the Davidic angel and the last of which is accomplished by Michael, who are both lesser beings to Jehovah, is an Aaronic ordinance. Jesus is baptized by a lesser being just as he is resurrected by a lesser being, Romans 8:11. Yet, the ordinance we refer to as the gift of the Holy Ghost is accomplished by the Melchizedek priesthood. This ordinance also points us to a future event. Why is this particular ordinance given by the greater? That's why. The gift of the Holy Ghost is a gift of the greater God of the Melchizedek order. What does that representative say to the recipient of this gift? We are expressly told not to bestow the gift or even use the word gift. These are the only words that must be recited. I say unto you, receive the Holy Ghost. The earth was first baptized in water in the days of Noah and is baptized in fire at the end. The earth's baptism of fire happens in concert with this new covenant referenced in Ezekiel 37 that centers around the Holy Ghost, that we may always have His Spirit to be with us. 2 Peter 3:7 But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Our ordinances now point us to these future events and fulfillments. Who knew? Unlike the Israelites in the days of Jesus, we at least have the benefit of hindsight of ordinances pointing to fulfillments. Why is it that few to none seem to even be aware that our own ordinances now all point to the fulfillment of the fall festivals? The Day of Atonement is the day Israel is reconciled to God. The baptism of fire is executed by the high priest of Israel on that day, whose sanctification power has been purchased by the sacrifice and atonement of Jesus Christ. 3 Nephi 27:20 Now this is the commandment, repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me and be baptized in my name, that ye may be sanctified by the reception of the Holy Ghost, that ye may stand spotless before me at the last day. Even this brief statement by the Lord Jesus Christ above to the Nephites links the sanctification by the reception of the Holy Ghost to standing before Jesus spotless at the last day. These truths are underscored in the Apocrypha. Regarding the elect one who is the rod of Jesse, the book of Enoch and the Davidic servant part 2, Isaiah 11, 1 Enoch states this elect, or chosen, one will summon all the hosts of heaven, reinforcing Isaiah 40. And D&C 88 that the angel of the Lord is the one who fulfills this role rather than Jesus. 1 Enoch 61:10 And he will summon all the host of the heavens, and all the holy ones above, and the host of God, the cherubic, seraphim, and ophanim, and all the angels of power, and all the angels of principalities, and the elect one, and the other powers on the earth, and over the water. And last, but not least, again here is the Apocalypse of Thomas that underscores the number 8 in connection to the Davidic angel to whom a new covenant is made. And when the 7 days are passed by, on the 8th day at the 6th hour there shall be a sweet and tender voice in heaven from the east. Then shall that angel be revealed which hath power over the holy angels, and all the angels shall go forth with him, sitting upon chariots of the clouds of mine holy Father, so, rejoicing and running upon the air beneath the heaven to deliver the elect that have believed in me. And they shall rejoice that the destruction of this world hath come. Apocalypse of Thomas.